Blog Talk Radio.
Taking you for the next 45 minutes as we discuss the league where no contract is guaranteed on this 9th of October 2013. Pirates and Cardinals about to get started. We'll keep you abreast of that if you're not able to watch. If you're not watching on television that particular game. Pittsburgh fans, of course, need a pickup after, you know, what's going on with the Steelers. Week number 5 in the league with no contract is guaranteed. As always, good to be back on the NFL show. As always, we'll talk about the games, talk about some NFL news, and look ahead towards week 6, which is fast approaching. As matter of fact, tomorrow you'll have the Giants traveling to Chicago to take on the Bears. Giants looking for their first win of the season. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or hit me up on Facebook.com/SurrealQuinn, or go to my website, SurrealGeraldQuinn.com. 347-215-6180 is the call number. For my Blog Talk Radio audience, the question of the night is, what will Denver's record be? The Denver Broncos, of course, have started out at 5-0, playing unbelievable offensive football as they are on a record pace. Peyton Manning and the Rocky Mountain Express just rolling over teams. Though they had a tough one this past week, and that's where we're going to begin with our game of the week. Denver 51, Dallas 48, probably the game of the year. For that matter, Dallas was ready to play. There's no two ways about it. They jumped on top of Denver 17-7, but you knew once Denver got his sea legs under them that Dallas would have to, you know, basically win a shootout. They almost did it. Dallas held a 48-41 lead late before Denver came down and tied the score, and then, of course, Tony Romo, doing what Tony Romo does, throws a interception to set up the game-winning Matt Prater field goal, which basically was the equivalent of an extra point. A couple of things here. Late in that game, Peyton Manning in Denver, I would say just Peyton Manning, manipulated the clock so that Dallas would not have any time left, and that they were going to put themselves in a position in which they would be able to kick a field goal with no time remaining. Dallas, before that decision was made by Peyton Manning, and rightfully so, Dallas had an opportunity to allow Knowshon Moreno to score a touchdown. Why Dallas and Jason Garrett did not think of this and just allow him to score a touchdown, they would have had at least a minute left. I don't know what the timeout situation was. It wouldn't have mattered. I mean, listen, you know, a minute left is enough time. So assuming you get a decent kickoff back, you're going to get the ball back 25, 30-yard line. That's enough time. The way they had been going down the field, it's enough time to give yourself a chance at worst, 35 to 40 yard Hail Mary. At worst, you have Dez Bryant, who arguably is the best athlete on the field. So they would have had enough time to go down the field to possibly tie the game. And that's the reason why Peyton Manning manipulated the clock so that Dallas wouldn't have any time. He realized, you know, he had a defense that had given up 48 points over, you know, basically close to 600 yards to throw the offense. He knew what he was doing from that standpoint. Again, I don't understand why Dallas didn't just let Nashawn Moreno score in New Orleans so they can get the ball back. Regardless of that, Romo, 25-36, 500 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, and an interception, throws a critical interception. But I can't put this on Romo. I know, listen, this is what Tony Romo does. Your defense gets up 51 points. I mean, like 48 points should be enough points for you to win the game. Just forget about Dallas for a minute, because it's not even about Dallas. This is who Dallas is. Dallas is a team that on any given night or any given Sunday can go out there and beat any team on their best day, can play with any team on their best day. They also can lose. They also lose to teams they probably physically, from a talent standpoint, have no business losing to. Tony Romo throws a late interception, late turnover. Dallas ends up on the short end of the stick of most of those games. That's that. It's like a soap opera. You can go away from it for 5 years, come back, and pick up on it within 2 days. I mean, that's who Dallas is. Denver, on the other hand, at 5-0, averaging, about 46 points a game, their low point, their low total for the season through 5 games is 37 points. And an above-average running game, Nashawn Moreno, ball, I mean, they have an above-average running game, tremendous offensive line. How are you going to stop this offense? And I'm telling you right now, looking across the league, there are not a lot of teams with great pass rushes right now. I just don't see a lot of teams that who can flat out rush the passer without blitzing or without coming with an extra man. I don't see it right now. Giants are down. Not a lot of teams that possess a quality front four, to be honest with you. They either have to manipulate manufacture a pass rush through blitzes or come up with some scheme where they have to outsmart you. Good luck trying to outsmart one Peyton Manning. Good luck with that. But keep this in mind before we hand Denver the Super Bowl trophy. Peyton Manning, we've seen this movie before with Peyton Manning teams, how dominant they've been overall in the regular season. Nine times he's been on teams that have won 12 or more games over the course of his illustrious career. 9-11 in the postseason. And I repeat that, he's 9-11 in the postseason. So if you're a Denver fan, you should be feeling great about your team. They are the favorite to get to the Super Bowl right now, the favorite to win the Super Bowl, and rightfully so. But take it easy. I've seen better teams not win a championship than these current 2013 Denver Broncos. When we return, a big day for the Cincinnati defense and the Chiefs keep on rolling. That's coming up on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. Minutes after the 8 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review NFL Show for week number 5 in the league, where no contract is guaranteed. Cincinnati over New England 13-6. Cincinnati giving hands New England's first loss of the season. They improved to 3-2 on the season. New England falls to 4-1. Cincinnati undefeated at home, coming off that just brutal loss to the Cleveland Browns 17-6. Cincinnati has been a different team at home. Their 3 wins have come against 3 Super Bowl winning quarterbacks in Brady, Brady, Rodgers, and Roethlisberger. They snapped Tom Brady's touchdown streak. 52 games, he had thrown at least one touchdown. I really thought that he was on the breaking the record this year passing. But it will not happen. Great win for Cincinnati. Great win. Pac-Man Jones gets an interception. Great win for Cincinnati. Pac-Man Jones gets the interception to clinch the victory for the Bengals, who have, again, been a completely different team at home this year. Now, they are one of the few teams that I've seen in the league that does have a quality pass rush and can get to the quarterback without blitzing. Above-average secondary. I mean, Cincinnati has one of the best defenses in the league. I mean, even in their two losses, their defense has, for the most part, played well. Though Chicago game, they did end up giving some big plays, but they did turn over the ball a lot in that game as well. So, you know, Cincinnati, again, still trying to figure out who they are. They are, I mean, from a talent standpoint, they are the best team in that division. It seems like they're going to be entrenched in a battle with Baltimore. I know Cleveland is 3-2 as well, but I just don't trust Cleveland over a course of a 16-game season. We'll see how long they can keep up their level of play. But again, great win for the Bengals. Kansas City 27, Tennessee 17. Tennessee falls to 3-2. Kansas City stays amongst the unbeaten at 5-0, 3-0 on the road. Very good win for Kansas City. On the road, you're facing a team that has been playing well. You get up big in the game, not big, but you get up by a couple of scores. They come back, and you're still able to find a way to win the game, 27-17. I was very impressed with Kansas City in this game. Very impressed with it, just with them being there. Tennessee has improved this year. Tennessee, I know Locker injury has hurt them. Fitzpatrick, we know, is a backup quarterback. But still, on the road, I guess a pretty good Tennessee team. You know, could have been a letdown game. But Kansas City just keeps rolling. Andy Reid, and I know Eagle fans probably shaking their head because Andy Reid has gone to Kansas City and all of a sudden been able to has used a top running back, Jamal Charles, 22 carries for 108 yards, a touchdown. People in Philadelphia certainly be wondering why he didn't use LeSean McCoy the way he's using Jamal Charles, but he has been running the ball a lot, trying to protect Alex Smith. I don't think he completely trusts Alex Smith, so that's one of the reasons why I think they've been run oriented. But again, Kansas City. Play to their strengths. They have excellent special teams. Suck Up has been one of the better kickers in the league. They have a great, they have a tremendous defense. Again, they, along with Cincinnati, one of the few teams that can get to the pass rush. It's going to be tough to run on Kansas City this year. And they also can get to the quarterback without blitzing. Excellent secondary. So Kansas City literally has one of the top two or three defenses in the league this year. I believe they're probably ranked number one as far as points allowed this year. So I'm certainly looking forward to when they play Denver to see the great offense against an excellent defense. Saints improved to 5-0, defeating Chicago 26-18. They improved to 5-0, 2-0 on the road. Chicago falls to 3-2. Again, you have to be impressed by the Saints in back-to-back weeks. A couple years ago, even when the Saints were very good and winning 10 to 12 games a year, they would struggle on the road outside that dome. To go on the road on grass in Chicago, especially with the Bears coming off a loss, very impressive win. Breeze goes 29 for 35, 288, couple of touchdowns. Jimmy Graham continues to play. Has been the best tight end in the league this year, continues to play at a high level. He has another big game, and the Saints get an excellent road win within the conference. Those conference wins always count more when you're fighting for home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And of course, there's not a better home field, maybe at this side of maybe Seattle. Other than Seattle, not a better home field advantage than the Superdome or the Mercedes, whatever you want to call it. Now, it'll always be a Superdome to me. To playing in New Orleans. So Saints 5-0, a showdown next week with the New England Patriots. Certainly be looking forward to that. When we return, the Colts up in Seattle, but not without a loss, and the struggles continue for the Houston Texans. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. Show 347-215-6180 is your call number. Bottom of the first, Pirates go down in order in the first in the top of the first. So St. Louis is up. St. Louis will be up the bat in the bottom of the first. You have Adam Wainwright and Garrett Cole on the mound for St. Louis and Pittsburgh respectively. Game five, again, a decisive game five in the NLDS. Red Sox advanced last night over Tampa, so they'll be waiting the winner of tomorrow's Detroit-Oakland winner, who they'll play Detroit-Oakland play tomorrow. And the Dodgers will, of course, be awaiting the winner of this particular matchup in the NLCS starting this weekend as well. So, the baseball postseason course is in full swing with a couple of game fives. A couple of NFL notes. Alden Smith, is facing weapons charges. San Francisco, again, the great San Francisco pass rusher who has missed a couple of games, has missed a game, will miss another game, has already missed one game, is on a leave of absence away from the team. Again, so he has a drug problem. He has these weapons charges. I don't know what the NFL is going to do as far as possible suspension. Probably again, they'll certainly investigate this more. These charges are stemming from a 2012 party where there were shots fired. Apparently, he and Delaney Walker were stabbed at the party. Again, details on that are still people are still trying to figure out the details on what exactly happened that night at his house back in 2012. But again, it does not look good for him for the near future. The league has suspended him at least one game based on their personal conduct personal conduct code. They have to. I mean, they have to suspend at least one game. And that doesn't even count the time that he's going to miss, you know, with this drug problem that he has. So who knows how long he's going to be out. And again, we're talking about what, this is a guy who, since he came into the league back in 2011, I believe 2011 was his first year, has more sacks than any player in the NFL. I mean, he's a big-time pass rusher. So that is something certainly San Francisco fans do not want to hear, losing one of their best defensive players. Already, Patrick Willis is at, you know, has been out with a battle with some injuries as well. Indianapolis over Seattle, 34-28, great game. Went kind of went back and forth. Both teams are 4-1. Indianapolis now 2-0 versus San Francisco and Seattle. They despite being outgained by over 100 yards, they find a way to win. Russell Wilson had a huge game. He had over 300 yards in total offense, 100 yards rushing, couple of passing touchdowns. Andrew Luck was efficient, 2 touchdown passes, no interceptions. Indianapolis just finds a way to win. I mean, there are games where you look at the stats, you say, how do they win? You know, they just find a way. They have a knack for knowing how to win these close games. And Andrew Luck does not make that critical error, as we see with, you know, a guy like Tony Romo. Andrew Luck is not going to lose you. He'll take some sacks before he throws a ball up for grabs. Look at his stats this year. He's not been spectacular, but he's only had, you know, through 5 games, he only has 2 interceptions. So, you know, sometimes it's not about so many touchdown passes you throw, but the interceptions that you don't throw. And certainly he has done a tremendous job this year at protecting the football. My bad news in Indianapolis, though, Ahmad Bradshaw out for the season, but they still have Donald Brown backing up Trent Richardson. Now again, the Trent Richardson trade looks that much better considering the Ahmad Bradshaw injury. Ahmad Bradshaw had been playing very well for Indianapolis, but again, he's out for the season. San Francisco improves to 3-2. 34-3 with a 34-3 demolishing of the Houston Texans. Texans fall to 2-3. San Francisco, after that slow start through the first 3 games, seemed to found their sea legs the last couple games. 2 back-to-back impressive performances where they've outscored their opponents, you know, 69-14. We saw what they did to St. Louis last week on Thursday Night Football. When San Francisco is great, they are running the football. Period. They had 36 carries for 177 yards rushing. This is despite the fact that Colin Kaepernick, you know, 6-for-15 for 113 yards, did have a touchdown pass, but certainly those are numbers that are not going to set the world on fire. 4th straight game that Matt Schaub has thrown a pick 6. Schaub was awful in this game, 3 interceptions, which led to him being benched by Gary Kubiak for T.J. Yates. Listen, for the remainder of the season, you are absolutely stuck with Matt Schaub as your quarterback if you're a Houston fan. Forget about T.J. Yates. T.J. Yates will take you nowhere. All season, that should be priority number one for you in the offseason to find a quarterback. You're not winning a Super Bowl. And it's one of the reasons why I didn't like Houston coming into this year, not winning a championship with Matt Schaub as your quarterback. I don't care how many pieces you have in place. You have a great running back. You have tremendous receivers. You have a great best defensive player in the league, arguably, and J.J. Wyatt and J.J. Watt. That doesn't matter. You don't have that top tier quarterback. Now Schaub is a very good player. He's much better than what he's showing right now. But this reemphasizes that you need a franchise quarterback to win a championship. And if you're Houston, you can't do anything right now. You're stuck with him. So I mean, they're stuck with Schaub, no without question, at least for this year. Kubiak will go back to Schaub for the upcoming game, for this week's game, but for the future, again, priority number one going to the offseason 2014 should be to find attempt to find a franchise quarterback. So Atlanta falls to the Jets, 30-28. Atlanta popped, is 1-4. The Jets improved to 3-2. To add injury to insult, Julio Jones probably will be lost for the season with his foot injury, though he will try to get a second opinion. It's looking more and more like his season's over. Geno Smith, 16-20, three touchdowns, no interceptions, 199 yards passing. This is when it's not your season. You lose to a Jets team. To me, that is not, maybe not god awful, but it's just not, you know, it's not that good. They're playing with a rookie quarterback, and they, you know, they played okay football, but there's no way coming off a loss, you know, coming off what happened at New England game last Sunday night at home, there's no way you should lose to the Jets when you're 1-3. You dominate the time of possession, had the ball 35 minutes. You outgain the Jets. Matt Ryan plays great, yet you find a way to lose. You allow Geno Smith to go down the field to set up his team, to put his team in position for a game-winning Nick Folk field goal. This is just, Atlanta's just, you know, there's something missing with that team. I mean, obviously defensively, and they weren't great defensively last year either, but obviously, I mean, Roddy White's not healthy, we know that. Julio Jones had been playing well before this injury. So offensively, and offensively, they had, you know, they've had some struggles in the red zone. But again, just something missing from an intangible standpoint with this team. Last year, we see how this thing goes back and forth. Saw it with the Orioles in baseball when they won all those one-run games last year, and this year they had a losing record in those games. You know, Atlanta won a ton of games last year in the fourth quarter, 2 minutes. And Matt Ryan had a number of game-winning drives last year. Now that coin has flipped completely, and now they're losing these close games. So, you know, we can go back and forth from week to week and from year to year. Atlanta is finished as far as their division goes. They will not be a factor in that division. Already 4 games behind the Saints. Already 4 games behind the Saints, who have no losses, and the fact that the Saints beat them already this year. So Atlanta is just scrambling to try to get back to 500. That should be probably their next goal, is to try to get back to 500. But they're looking like a team that, again, will not be a factor in the NFC this season. Green Bay over Detroit, 22-9, in a ugly game, to say the least. Green Bay improves to 2-2. They continue to own Detroit at Lambeau Field. Detroit falls at 3-2. Of course, Detroit was playing without Calvin Johnson and Nate Burleson. Matthew Stafford, 25-40, 262 and a touchdown. Aaron Rodgers was an efficient 20-30, 274, a touchdown, no picks. Green Bay had 108 yards rushing. Eddie Lacy almost cracked 100 yards. Green Bay just dominated the line of scrimmage, outgaining Detroit 449 to 286. And again, Detroit not able to generate any offense without Calvin Johnson. This is the problem with, I don't understand, again, and this game was not a blowout. I mean, this game was a 6-3 game, a 9-3 game for the majority of the game. You have Reggie Bush. I don't understand why you throw the ball 40 times and not run Reggie Bush. And Reggie Bush, I think, had 13 carries and did not get nowhere near the amount of touches that he should have gotten. So I don't understand that. But, again, that's Jim Schwartz for you. Green Bay loses Clay Matthews with a thumb injury for a month, so that's going to hurt their best defensive player, their best pure pass rusher. Green Bay, again, proves a 2-2 on the season. Baltimore over Miami, 26-23. Both teams are at 3-2. Miami is second straight loss on the season after starting out 3-0. Good win for Baltimore on the road. Flacco, 19-32, 269, interception, no touchdowns. Baltimore ran the ball effectively, 40 rushes, so 133 yards. Tannehill did have 300 yards passing. But Baltimore, you know, still trying to figure out what Baltimore is. I mean, they do have a couple of quality. They have beaten Houston. They have beaten now Miami on the road. But, again, you don't get a sense on how good they are. I don't think Baltimore is a contender, but they're certainly playing a little bit better than I thought they were going to play. You know, I thought they were going to play coming into the season. So 3-2. Listen, 3-2 or 3-2. They certainly will be in the mix in terms of that division. which doesn't look so bad. Doesn't look so bad right now. I mean, you have three teams who are at 3-2 with Baltimore, Cleveland, and Cincinnati. Again, we still don't know how good Cleveland is. So you have to certainly keep your eyes on them. But so far, Baltimore has played some decent football. The Giants get knocked around 36-21 against Philadelphia Eagles. Giants fall to 0-5 on the season. Philadelphia improves to 2-3. Nick Foles comes in for a injured Michael Vick and goes 16-25, 197, two touchdowns. Philly also has a team at 140 yards rushing. Giants have been the worst team in football. I mean, you want to say from a talent standpoint, Jacksonville is the worst team, fine. But as far as on the field play, you know, just think about this with the Giants. In every game, they've given up at least 31 points and had at least three turnovers. They've been outscored cumulatively by 100 points. Think about that, by 100 points. They've been outscored by their opponents. I mean, Eli's throwing multiple picks every week. You know, yeah, he throws 300 yards, but how many passing attempts does he have? You know, 52. They don't have a running game. The defensive line, you know, doesn't scare anybody anymore. And, again, the Giants are playing the worst football in the league right now. And to me, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, forget about playoffs. Giants look like a 2-win team. They look like a 2-14, 3-13 team. I mean, they are playing, you know, this came out of nowhere with the Giants. I there's nobody that could have saw this coming. I thought the Giants were going to be one of the bounce back teams coming back off a non-playoff year. And again, this is something that we have not seen in the Tom Coughlin era. Remember this, even in years where Coughlin's teams have not made the playoffs, I'm only talking about his tenure with the Giants, they've still had a winning record. He's only had one losing season his entire Giant career, and that was his first year back in 2004, you know, when you had Eli was a rookie, Kurt Warner was their quarterback for at least the first 8 or 9 games. And even in that season, they started off 5-4 before he made the change to go to Eli. So, I would have to think that this probably, when you have a year like this, will be Coughlin's last year. He is 67 years old. You're not going to do anything with Eli. He's still a franchise quarterback. You just chalk it up as just one of those years. They'll revamp the roster somehow. But, again, this is something I did not – I didn't see – like Pittsburgh – we thought Pittsburgh could struggle. We looked at the talent and saw the lack of talent that they have, some of the age, offensive line, then injuries, and he said, well, it was a running game. We thought Pittsburgh could struggle and not make the playoffs. But I did not see this coming from the Giants. You know, I thought the Giants were primed and poised to possibly win the NFC East. So they go from a team that, you know, was on the fringe of making the playoffs last year to a team that is – the worst team in football right now. And they are the worst team in football right now. Is a call number. NFL had a meeting of, you know, one of their annual fall meetings down in DC yesterday. Yesterday, of course, you had Commissioner Goodell talking about a number of things. One of the things he spoke about was expanding the playoffs by two teams. I think he means by one team in each conference. So I guess, the number three seed would play seven, or number two seed would play seven seed, number three would play six, and four would play five. I guess that would eliminate one of the teams from having a bye week. So you're looking at three wild card games in the first weekend instead of two, meaning that, it would put more emphasis on a team getting home field advantage throughout the playoffs. having the best record. So that is back on the table. Again, you don't need any more teams in the playoffs as far as I'm concerned. I mean, how many years do we look back at an NFL season and say, wow, this team that just missed the playoffs, they could have been a contender. Excuse me. And I know there have been years where you had a 10-16 not make the playoffs. I mean, one year, you know, few years back, the year where Tom Brady missed with the knee injury in 2008, and you had Matt Castle leading the Patriots. Patriots went 11-5. But did anybody think that Patriot team was a legit Super Bowl contender? No. Even at 11-5. I mean, they were a team that just overachieved. I don't like it. I don't think you need any more teams in the playoffs. I don't think you need any more teams in the playoffs. I think that, you know, it would just get you're bringing in a team that probably is not a playoff caliber team into the mix, to be honest with you. Just because you're 9-7 doesn't mean you're a playoff caliber team. If you're 10-6, more than likely, there's probably a 98% chance, a high 90s, that you're going to be in the playoffs, even possibly win your division. You can win your division at 10-6, but 9-7 to me does not make you a playoff team. I mean, you could have had a weak schedule, some things could have went your way, bounce the ball here and there. That it doesn't make you a playoff team. So the whole idea that this is going to make for more competitive football or make for more exciting football, I'm not buying it in the postseason. Now, again, it does put more of an emphasis on having the best record in the conference. But with that being said, does that guarantee anything? No. We've seen a number of number one seeds go out early in the first round, in the divisional rounds, during the playoffs. So that certainly is possibly on the table for 2015. It was not happening in the 2014 schedule, but it would happen in the 2015. It's a possibility. It's not a definite thing that's going to happen, but it's a possibility. And the thought would be that if you did that, then that would eliminate one preseason game. You can eliminate one preseason game without expanding the playoffs. You don't, like, the two don't have to correlate at all. Brief 347-215-6180. When we return, I will give you who I think right now is the best team in the NFC, and we'll look ahead towards Week 6 action. That's coming up on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. 40 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour in this last edition of the NFL show. No score in the bottom of the second inning. The bottom of the second inning as well. That's about to change here as Cardinals have just homered. I'm trying to figure out who that was. So 2-0 Cardinals, 2-run homer by David Freeze, one of our old postseason heroes back in 2011. David Freeze has been awful this year. It's like he has been an absolute non-factor this year. So, but he has been – he's had a habit of coming up big in the postseason. Had a, again, had a huge 2011 postseason. He, again, shows his true colors in the postseason. Like, once again, two-run home run off Gerrit Cole and 2-0 Cardinals bottom of the second inning. We'll see if that can hold up in what has been a very pitcher-oriented type series. David Freeze, again, first home run of the postseason, coming off a terrible year. I mean, he was awful this year. He wasn't, you know, you had guys like, when you thought about the Cardinal lineup, David Freeze is not a guy that you really thought that you feared compared to guys like Matt Carpenter, Adam Craig, you know, Matt Holliday, and I can give you about five or six guys that you thought about before you talked about David Freeze. But again, in the postseason, he's had some big hits. His seventh career postseason home run. So 2-0 Cardinals in the bottom of the second inning. The bottom of the second inning, of course, a deciding game five of the NLDS winner. This game will play the Los Angeles Dodgers. So week six, Green Bay, Baltimore, New England. Of course, the primary matchup is New Orleans at New England. The New Orleans at New England game should be a lot of fun because it's not that often that those two quarterbacks get to play against each other. Now, especially now, you know, considering that they're in separate conferences every, you know, once every 4 years, it's probably be the last time they play against each other unless they meet in the Super Bowl, which is certainly, you know, a possibility. But you'll see two of the best of this generation, certainly with Breeze and Brady going at it. As New Orleans takes his undefeated record to Foxborough against New England, who has been against New England, Tom Brady at home has been nearly unbeatable during the course of his illustrious career. So they're at 4-1. So should be a great game. Green Bay at Baltimore should be interesting as well. And that's basically it as far as quality matchups. It's not a good weekend. Not a good week of NFL football as far as marquee matchups. It's just not. So those are your two matchups, again, headlining by the New Orleans, New England matchup. The primetime matchups are not any good at all. I mean, a Sunday night game, you have Washington and Dallas, which at the beginning of the season looked enticing, but now talking about a 1-3, 1-4 team versus a 2-3 team. Tomorrow you have Chicago hosting the Giants. Again, before the season started, that looked good. Now it looks like a mismatch. So we'll see what happens. Well, certainly we'll see what happens with these matchups come week six. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the NFL Show, the season premiere of the NFL Show. We'll be back next week with another edition of the NFL Show. We'll be back with the Cyril Quinn Review on Saturday. We'll continue to talk about the baseball postseason as well as preview a week six in the league where no contract is guaranteed. Enjoy the rest of your evening. So long. I'll see you next time. Thank you.